Really thrilled to be here with Tim Travis from Goldner Walsh. Goldner Walsh has been here for nearly 40 years. I know you guys do different types of events. You have bocce ball, you're a florist, you have a nursery here. You do landscape design, which is how you started. Can you share with us a little bit about your origin story, how you got into this business, specifically at Goldner Walsh?
Well, first of all, I had a grandmother named Rose and one named Lily. And they were both huge gardeners. So they were my true inspiration for the appreciation of gardening.
Yeah.
And which skipped a generation, which is good because then my immediate family became better customers. But I've always been interested, and I was very self-employed with my brother. We cut lawns and everything. And one of my neighbors knew that I was interested in horticulture, and this was back in the 80s. Or late 70s, and cutting her lawn was what I did, but she wanted a landscape done and asked me if I was interested in landscaping her house, and of course I said yes,
right?
But of course I'd never done it before. So then she took me to all these places to look at plants and get exposure to it just on her own. And then she took me to this one little place called Goldner Walsh. And at the time, it was a little tiny nursery on Telegraph and 12 Mile in Southfield, which is now a Popeyes. So it was this tiny little nursery. But the day I got there, I had an opportunity to meet Al Goldner, who's the founder of the company, and his vice president, Jim Slezinski. And I knew immediately that day that this is the type of business I want to be in and run. And of course, I told Al Goldner, and he immediately hired me. So the next summer, 1980, I was still in college at Michigan State, going through ornamental horticulture and business class. It was my first summer working here, but they had just moved to this location in Pontiac, which is where we are now.
Yes. And which is like 12 acres, you said.
Yeah, we have 12 acres. From the street, it just looks like a little mom and pop flower shop. But the history of this place dates back to 1890. It was originally a cut flower production greenhouse. And when Al Goldner bought this place, the only part of that that was functioning was the flower shop. So then we immersed ourselves into the location. Al Goldner was 65 when he bought this. He wasn't ready to retire. He always wanted to have a greenhouse because he had orchids as a hobby. And so he kept the flower shop running. We ended up renovating the greenhouses, or at least starting it, because they'd been abandoned for 15 years. And then we got a call from the Grand Hotel. They wanted us to do the flowers for the Grand Hotel and redesign all their gardens. Well, that launched us into the greenhouse part of the business. But the core business has always been landscaping. And so I had an opportunity to evolve with the company. And then in 1988, you know, 8 years after I started here part-time, I actually bought the company.
Wow, that's fascinating. Going back to what you said before, you never did landscaping when you first worked for your for your neighbor, right? And you said yes anyway.
Well, I wanted the challenge.
You wanted the challenge. So you figured you'd figure it out along the way?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that I knew enough about plants, but I didn't have anybody who let me do it.
Right.
I mean, family doesn't really count, but but it was obviously they saw something that I didn't at the time, but they gave me the chance, and that gave me the bug.
And you helped launch them into the business, really, to be a leader in the business.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, but I was still, again, going back to 1980, two summers I worked here part-time, 82 I started full-time, and I was an employee. I mean, I became a store manager because they had all this space and didn't have anybody to help the customers. And so I built that part of the business. And then in 88, when I bought the company, the biggest transformation for me personally occurred, because nobody ever told me how to be a business owner. Mm-hmm. You can be a really hard worker and know how everything works in a company, but when you're a business owner, that's important, but you have to learn other skills.
Right.
And that is managing people. You are now fully responsible for everybody's livelihood that work for you.
Wow.
And I was young. I mean, I was 28 when I bought the company, and I just didn't have that kind of experience working with so many people and being responsible for managing them.
Did you ever consider at one point to bring in a partner to help with that transition?
I didn't know how to do that. I mean, I had I have Jim Slezinski, who was with our company prior to me, and he's still here with me. He's our vice president. And he was really the face of the company outside of Al Goldner. So kept him here because he was important, and I learned so much from him, and he's the plant guy, and that's what we're known for. So you have to learn the strengths and weaknesses of your employees to find out how to build a company. But you also have to learn the strengths and weaknesses of yourself so that you don't get in their way. And that is probably the hardest thing for any business owner to do. Now, since 88, you know, the whole world has changed in business and everything. I mean, we went through that terrible time when the economy crashed, and we had to reinvent ourselves. And that was a real soul-searching time, because we were literally 12 minutes from losing the business. But nobody knew that. My employees didn't know that. My vendors didn't know that. My bank didn't know that. But it was a situation where I experienced the whole other side of business, and that's behind-the-scenes banking. And we had a predatory loan on the business. They sold the property without us knowing it,
wow.
Forced us into foreclosure. But then it became an opportunity because I had 6 months of buyback the property at half the price. So they not only sold the property, they rebought it themselves at half the price. That's just dirty business.
Yes.
But that's how it
set
works.
A fire in you. That's like, that became your motivation.
Absolutely. And you have to really rethink about what are you doing. Obviously, if you don't evolve as a business, I mean, how things were done 30, 40, 50 years ago doesn't necessarily work in mm-hmm. today. And so me working harder at doing the same thing that we were doing before wasn't the solution. So I was forced to either give up all of this or find another way. And suddenly, I had basically an epiphany. I decided to look at my space as a campus
mm-hmm.
because there's other people that could be on this property that we work with that actually help add value to this as a destination.
When you were reinventing, coming with new ways to add revenue, is that when you decided we can do events here? We can be a venue?
Well, yeah, we just started doing the whole wedding thing here.
Oh, that's more recent, like in the last few years.
Yeah, but that was just part of it, because people were coming here, they loved the space. And so they were coming to us with ideas, like we want to have a wedding or we want to do a party. But then we also have a strong relationship with the stone guy, Spurlock Stone. We did a lot mm-hmm. of work with him, and his business was in Rochester, but all of his customers were our customers.
Do you think that other companies can also do a Field of Dreams approach to reinventing themselves? Or
again, I think part of it is you have to look at your business as and other people in business as not as competitors. They're co-professionals. So
I like that.
If you can get past that, then everything opens up. And for example, the Stone guy, Spurlock Stone, is a customer, is a vendor that we've worked with and collaborated many jobs. But he was in a similar situation where he had to move out of his location, and we had the space. And we already had shared customers, so he decided to move his business here, which changed the game for him, but also for us. Now, all of a sudden, we have more contact with his customers visually. And then from that, all of a sudden, we had the goat lady come, and that's a whole nother story in itself. That was
the goat lady.
The goat lady.
I like her title.
How that happened was a customer of mine had goats and had a community garden in Detroit and wanted to have goats, but they wouldn't let them in Detroit. And so I went down and met her in this in Brightmoor, wherever her place was, and it was like scary. I'm going, why don't you bring your goats to Golden Wash? Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't know if that was legal, but I figured that we could probably get away with it because it kind of ties in. And so her coming here created another destination for people because people love goats. Sure. I also have chickens. That's another story. Yeah. But so I was rethinking our business, not just as a landscape company that only went to people's homes and they never came to our business. In fact, 90% of our landscape customers never come to my store. They don't need to. Interestingly, my landscape business, 90% of my customers have never been to my store because we go to them. I was trying to build and sustain a retail business here, but I didn't have customers coming here. But I knew they would if they had other reasons to. So we created this, we rethought of our whole campus here as a destination. And so the event business took off because we have this beautiful space. And the Stone guy who moved here built our amphitheater because that's what he does. So we were featuring his work. And now all of a sudden we have this reason for people to come. And if you think about it, the event business technically has nothing to do with selling trees, but it has everything to do about bringing customers here. So every weekend when we do a wedding, we'll have 100, 200 people come here. 90% of those people have never been to a garden store before. And of course, I have a flower shop, so we end up usually doing all the floral work for them too. But then it creates this whole new buzz that people are talking about, and they're advertising. They're the ones getting the message out about this cool place in Pontiac that mm-hmm. nobody would ever think of. And so since then, we've really expanded the infrastructure here. And this last winter, we built an indoor bocce ball court. Of course, it has nothing to do with selling plants, but it has to do with gathering people. And it's utilizing an abandoned structure as an old greenhouse that I wasn't using. And I either let it fall apart or I do something positive with it. And now it's created this huge new annex to our event business, which is mm-hmm. really fun. And I'm utilizing space that just we're not using. So at one point, when Golden Wash was first here, we started growing all the plants. We had an acre of greenhouse here. We were growing all the plants in the greenhouse and was running the landscape nursery and all that. We found that the greenhouse part wasn't really making any money. It was actually taking a lot of money out of the company and it was more of a distraction because the facility wasn't really up to par to do that and it was hard to manage it. And there's so many really good growers out there to buy from to give you more diversity than if you grew yourself. So we had to learn that the hard way by doing it, but then it also gave us a chance to stay in the game as far as being a retail business selling plants. Mm-hmm. But now we're able to provide way more inventory and product than we could have ever done if we grew everything ourselves, because we can pick and choose from the other great growers that are around us. So we want to make this a one-stop shop for the customer. We don't want them to buy only coleus from us or just the a few bushes. We want them to come here and have the whole experience of being here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we can provide because we have this historic building. You go to any other garden store, we're probably the last remaining authentic garden store, certainly in Oakland County. And it's because we're original. We still have the old greenhouses. So mm-hmm. we have a space that is not supersized, it's not a big box store, it's not sterile. And we do what we do well, and we do plants well, we do design well. But then the other parts of the business that are sharing our space here also do what they do well. But they still connect with what we right. do as a business. I mean, outside of the goats. although that's not entirely true, because now she's renting the goats for land clearing. So somebody's got a lot of poison ivy and buckthorn or,
okay.
you know, there she you actually rents her goats for clearing.
But you also have this sister business where it sells goat soap or something?
Well, in my flower shop, yeah, she makes goat soap and lotions. And so we sell it in a flower shop. But this is not, I don't run her business. Amy McIntyre and John McIntyre who run the business, I give them the space to do that. And it's almost like a business incubator in a way, in a small way. So now the latest thing that has happened is Wild Birds Unlimited ended up opening a franchise here.
Mm-hmm.
And that they weren't really looking necessarily, but due to a chance conversation, because I was delivering flowers in January and had a bad address and a floral arrangement, made the phone call. It turned out to be the franchise owner of the Royal Oak store
mm-hmm.
and told her that, hey, you know, a long time ago when Golden West moved here, we used to have a Wild Birds Unlimited type store before awesome. Wild Bird Unlimited was even around. And I asked her, why don't you do a kiosk here? So the power of suggestion turned into the power of completion, and within 4 months they opened a store.
I'm sure they could write a book about all the great opportunities that came about through wrong directions.
Oh, absolutely. You're going down the wrong road and there's something. But I mean, again, part of it, I'm always thinking about what can I do to utilize my space better and appeal to the customer base. So this is an ideal situation for both of us, and the programming end of it, which is another thing that we're known for. If they're doing a talk on hummingbirds, well, we can bring in, well, these are the plants that you can attract hummingbirds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a whole nother avenue for PR and reaching out to the community. And that's how I think all the time. I'm always thinking about not just selling trees, but what can I do to get people excited about what I do, which I'm already excited about?
Well, I'm excited just hearing you talk about it. I think it's tremendous the value you're bringing to people by not just offering them a single service, but sharing with them sister services that you have mm-hmm. on the campus, which is huge. If people are interested and they haven't been here yet, which would be weird if they haven't, but if they haven't, what's the best way for them to reach out to you and get more information?
Well, absolutely. First of all, we do have a website, and definitely is goldenwash.com.
Right.
We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. But also, I'm very involved in the community. I'm involved in a lot of charities, and I meet a lot of people there. I encourage every business to be involved in their own community. That's another way of reaching out to the people. Just get involved in the community that you're in, and mm-hmm. you'll find the players. You'll find the people that are involved. I'm a big proponent for doing that. I'm a big proponent of recycling and environmental issues and stuff like that. So
there's many ways to connect.
Many ways to connect, and just find us. I even have a garden program called Tim Talk. It's just this goofy garden program that I decided to do because there are no garden programs. HGTV is HTV. There's no G in HGTV. And that used to be the go-to place for garden talks or garden programming. So I love what I do, and I like to present it in a funny, goofy way. And so an example would be I did 3 episodes on plants that love water, but I did it in my wetsuit. It's so bad. But the information is really good.
Right.
But you have to entertain your people and give them, you know, make them laugh. Everybody's got to lighten up a little bit. But
yeah,
it's those are the kinds of things that I do to educate, to inspire people, but also other businesses. I think businesses have to think in a different way, not a corporate way, but a community way. That will make a company and also be very positively impactful on it.